Lord, we want to thank you for your love and kindness. We want to thank you for your faithfulness of how you've walked with us, how you continue to walk with us. And God, we pray even this morning as we just sit here and we hear the word, Lord, would you just speak to us in such a unique and special way to each and every person in this room. Holy Spirit, come and reveal the Father, guide us into all truth, O God, and that, Lord, would you teach us and walk with us. Please help us. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. My name is Isaac. It's been a while since I've been at Katong. I've just been ministering a little bit more at the Bugis site. So I know some people meet me, they go, Isaac, where have you been? Have you left? Have you gone into the wilderness? Why won't you cut your hair? Two separate matters. I just love having long hair. This morning, I want to talk about a God who walks with us. We're coming to the close of the year. This is the last November weekend. We'll go into December. And normally how December happens is you go into December and before you know it, it's February. Because January, we're all doing Chinese New Year and all these different things. And normally when the year comes to a close, as I start a new year, I'll take intentional time to ask myself a couple of questions to kind of realign myself with some of the reasons of why I did what I do, what is the purpose of life, work, relationship, God, and just figuring out things, because it's so easy for us to go through disappointment. It's so easy for us to go through success. And because of that, we begin to rewrite our journey or begin to rewrite some things that unknowingly, either because of disappointment or great success, we kind of move away from the alignment and the call of our faith, of why we do what we do, what we've set out to do. And this morning, I want to do that. I want to kind of go back into scripture and just really think and ask us, what is this meaning and purpose of our relationship with the Lord? I've titled the sermon, A God Who Walks With Us. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. One of my favorite verses says this: what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? To act justly. Everyone say justly. To love mercy. Say mercy. And to walk. Everyone say walk. Walk humbly with your God. To walk with God. Maybe in today's day and age, walking seems utterly boring. What? You mean just walk? Isaac, have you not seen our elaborate setups and our productions? And like, wow, kapow! But right in the beginning, if you read and if you read, it starts with a walk. To walk with our God. We run, we climb, we chase, we fall. But from the very beginning, God's desire wasn't for us to run for Him. It was to walk with Him. Walking may seem ordinary, but it is one of the most intimate things you can do with someone. When you walk with someone, you slow down enough to listen, you match your pace to theirs, you don't rush ahead, and you don't lag behind. You are present. That's what God wants. Not so much your speed, not so much your strength, but to be present with Him. God desires to walk with us. And sometimes if we're not careful, because we have great success, because we go through great disappointment, we may allow the problem or the reward to cloud what we're supposed to do with our relationship with God, that we're not present with Him. Some of us maybe think that we can impress Him with our giftings. The Lord cannot be impressed with your giftings because He gave it to you. He's not going to be, I didn't know. He gave it to you. The world will be impressed by your giftings. The world will be blessed by your gifting. But you know what will bless the Lord? Your presence. To walk with Him. Do the great feats. Go through the different things. But may we never forget that the Lord desires to walk with us. That even when we come for services, sure, we're part of a service, but as we sing, you are holy, oh so holy, we're not just going through motion. We are present and says, Lord, I'm with you. I'm walking with you. That's what God wants. Our presence, not so much speed, strength. From the beginning, God walked with humanity. We see that in Genesis 3, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Before there were priests and prophets and church services, there was just simply this, walking. God walked with Adam and Eve side by side, no shame, no fear, no hiding, just presence. Walking was the absolute profound. It was the norm. It was the church. It was what God did. It was normal for him to show up, and Adam and Eve would walk with him. No elaborate worship set. No grand movements. No award-winning conferences. Just presence. And even in that walking, we rebelled. And we decided, you know what? I want to walk on my own. Adam and Eve sinned. Humanity fell. And after we did, we were found naked and we decided to hide. And even then, God wanted to walk with us. Because when Adam and Eve and humanity hid, the first thing he said was not, you see la, now you already never listen. I don't know why all parenting sounds a bit nasal and like, The first thing that came out of his mouth was, where are you? A God in search of his people. And what's beautiful about that is that, do you think God didn't know where they were? Like God's like, actually, I really don't know. Where are you? He said, where are you? Because he wanted us to know, I know where you are, but I want you to know that I'm searching for you, that I'm looking for you, that I want you, that I am seeking you out. Where are you? That's the heart of God. He searches, he pursues, he calls from the beginning. He's always been the God who comes near. Even when we hide, he walks toward us. God doesn't walk away from us. He walks towards us. Matthew 11 verse 28 says this, come to me, all who are tired and weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the other thing sometimes we confuse ourselves with is that walking with the Lord means my life is in order. Or walking with the Lord means I finally get it. Like I'm so clear about the vision and the mission, and now I walk with him. And oftentimes we are like Adam and Eve, where when we sin or when we are misaligned or when we don't know what we're doing or we're disappointed, hurt, angry, or sinful, we go into hiding. And even as we grow older, sometimes I hear people say this, Isaac, when I finally get my life in order, when I finally be the man I'm supposed to be, when I finally get my disciplines in order, then I will come before the Lord and I will walk with him faithfully. But until then, I gotta figure and sort myself out. But the Bible says, come to me all who are tired and weary, and it is I, not you, who will give you rest. It is I who will save you, and I who will help you, and I who will walk with you. Don't carry your own burdens and weight. And sometimes these burdens and weight has nothing to do with the disappointment in your life. In Singapore, the burden and weight can often be success and having arrived or being able to do something or ideas, and we run ahead of him. And for the ones who are hurting or in shame and we hide, the Lord says, come and walk with me. How many of us would go home tonight after a long day? We go before our bed, we're really tired, and you will go to your bed, tired, and you'll go, I don't deserve you. I need to go back and sort my rest out. Then when I am rested, I will lie on the bed and I will sleep. Hilarious. Because the bed is built for rest. And the Lord says, you on your own, you will not find faith and you will not be delivered by your own sheer willpower and determination. It is in me and through me. Come to me, all who are tired and weary, and I will give you rest. Let us not allow shame to pull us away from what the Lord really deserves and what the Lord wants of us, our all. And if we're not careful, in this shame, when we go into hiding, sometimes we become too performative in order to therefore be back in his presence, to step into his presence boldly, to be able to come to church and say, you are holy, as opposed to just simply walking with him. We feel like we need to run for him. I need to do this and I need to do that. I need to steward my gift and I need to raise this and I need to all of that to try to prove and show, yes, I am worthy and I'm walking with the Lord. But be careful, because the Lord may say, I do not know you. Let us not miss the point. Right on the beginning, the Lord desires for us to be present. And you can be present not because you are worthy, but because He made the first move. And He's in search of us going, where are you? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of us hide in busyness and fear and disappointment and shame. And it doesn't even matter if you show up in church sometimes, meaning you might come here and you may sing the songs, but you are not present with Him. We need the atmosphere to carry us, or we're just part of the routine. And this morning, the Lord says, where are you? Don't lose the walk. My desire is for you to walk with me. I'm not impressed by your giftings. Walk with me. Even in our hiding, He walks with us. Even in our rebellion and our numbness, He holds us and He walks with us. And we see this throughout the entire Bible and in history. You can trace it all through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. God's one desire is to dwell with His people, to walk with them. When humanity fell, He didn't cancel the walk. He restructured it. He said, fine, if you won't come to me, then I'll come to you. So in the wilderness, His presence came in a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night. He walked with them. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 to 22 says, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. He walks with His people. He leads His people. He wants to deliver and He wants to take us. He then tells Moses, go build the tabernacle, a moving tent. God says, if my people are moving, then I'm moving with them. When the temple was built, His glory filled it. Not because He needed a house, but because we needed to know He was still near. I remember when I was doing youth ministry, someone came to me and said, Isaac, isn't it strange that the Almighty God is trapped in a box? In the Ark of the Covenant, why would such an amazing God be in our box? And I go, I think that reveals so much the heart of our God, who wants to be with and among His people. And we have a God that truly desires to walk with us. Even when He gave His commandments, well, we read it like, therefore, do not sin. The Lord gave us rules not to control us, but a way to walk with us. He was saying, here's how to stay close. Here's how we can walk together. Then came the prophets, the king, the priests, every message, every miracle, every heartbreak, all pointing to this one truth. I want to walk with you. And then one day He didn't just send a word. He didn't come in a temple. He didn't send a messenger. He became flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, God walked among us. God Himself came down, put on sandals and walked on our roads. He walked with the blind. He walked with the lame. He walked with the hungry. He walked with those you of little faith. He walked with the poor. He walked with the proud. He walked with the sinners. He walked with the unclean. He walked with the prostitutes. He walked with the nobles. He walked with those who betrayed Him. And He still walks with us now. When He said, it is good that I go away, because a helper will come, the Holy Spirit, who would guide you into all truth, reveal the Father and glorify the Lord. The pattern has never changed. He walked in Eden, He walked in the desert, He walked through Galilee, and now He walks through our cities and our pain. And one day He will walk with us again, face to face, in a new heaven and new earth, where there will be no more running, no more hiding, no more fear. Revelation 21 verse 3 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" And that's how it shall end. How it began, walking with him in deep intimacy with him. I cannot wait for the day where I see him face to face. I am not getting ready my collection of achievements and awards and what I've done and says, "Okay, burn it and test it, Lord. Is it proven?" The first thing when we see him face to face, I suspect we will not be prepared with whatever we've done on this earth. We will look at him and go, "This is the face that I love, the face that has walked with me through my entire life. Holy, holy are you, Lord." May we, when we meet with him, be so familiar with who he is, more than the life we have lived, well or not. God has never stopped walking. He held humanity. He held us. Even we may let go of his hand, he never let go of ours. Do you all know this children's church song? "He's got the whole world in his hands." Can I get, maybe Matt can come up, Pastor Matt. Today, Matt shall be God. Woo. This is God, and this is me, pagan, right? No, sinner, okay. And so, he has never let go of us, and he's held us through and through. And sometimes we think, and don't let go, okay? Sometimes we think that even when we let go, see, I let go, he also let go. Now you let go? We think there's a way. Because he is like us. You not fair, I not fair. You do bad, I do bad. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13 says, "Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful." And so when we let go of him, he doesn't go, "Swallow, okay lah. You come back when you're ready lah. You come back when you have thought things true and you figure out, then you come back when you are sorry." That's all our Asian papa, maybe not, okay? Don't let go, huh? Okay. I gotta make sure we don't break this analogy. When I let go, he still holds on. Because that's what humanity has tried to do. They run away. They hide. And you have a God, when you read through entire scriptures, who is persistent to walk with you. He never lets you go. He holds on to you. And that's why sometimes you go through some of the worst things in life and you still feel his presence. And you go, "Why? Maybe because..." Yeah, he loves you. He is faithful even when we're not. We think that maybe when I do something wrong and you let go, we both let go and I run off to do my thing and I'm like doing all kinds of madness and nonsense. And then when I finally get it together, then I come back with him again. And then now we walk together and it is such a tiring affair. But actually, he walks with us. So even when I let go, he holds on to me. I'm in my own way and oh, you can move with me. Yeah. He goes with me, right? Is there not that verse in the Bible that says, "Where can I run and hide from his presence? Even if I'm in the depths, he's there with me. Even when I'm far away, he's with me." That is not just poetic. It is backed by what God has done throughout entire history. And even in the madness and in the darkness, in the weirdness, in the good, in the success, in the pain, he is with me and he holds on. And the question for us is not so much if God walks with us, but the question is if we walk with him. Because if I say that he is my king, my shepherd, my Lord, my all, if I say I take his burden and his yoke, which means I now walk with him, it should be, "Lord, you lead me." Thanks. Look at that. Such a great... And I begin to follow him. And that even in days of doubt, or I let go, he holds on. He never lets go. He has never let go of humanity. This is our God. He walks with us. But will we walk with Him? Thanks, Ben. One of the stories I really enjoyed reading this year when I was reading through the Bible, this story just really whacked me that I kept reading it over and over because it just made me fall in love with God just even deeper. It's a story of Thomas. And when we hear Thomas, if you're old enough, you think about Thomas the Train. If not, you think about Doubting Thomas. And can I just say this? Poor Thomas. We Christians decided to name him Doubting. He was never called Doubting Thomas in the Bible. We name him. He's like in heaven, like, why? Oi. And when I read about Thomas, I went, my goodness, God, you are incredibly kind and loving. Thomas had his doubt, not because he was opposing truth, but he was a man that was really in love with God, that he couldn't settle for anything less. Let me remind you, it was Thomas who had to try to speak to the disciples when the Lord wanted to visit his friend Lazarus when Lazarus was dying, and they were all scared because they would be killed. Thomas was the one that says, let us go with him that we may die with him. And so what happens in John chapter 20 is the Lord has risen and he appears to the disciples. And the disciples are hiding in the house, hiding. They were scared. After all that has been done, they were scared. And even then, the Lord appeared to them and they all saw him. They were astonished. They were in awe. But guess who was not there? Thomas. Thomas did not wake up enough for the 9 a.m. service. He was not there. And so when Jesus appeared and disciples saw him, when they met Thomas, they said, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. And Thomas did not PR his way. He was not a shalom Christian. He didn't say, bless you, shalom. Good for you. Thomas says, I will not believe. I cannot. I must touch his side. I must not just see him, I want to touch him. And sometimes when we read that, we go, you of little faith. But let me tell you, when you're in love with someone, and if I really love someone and they showed up for someone else after I've not seen them for a while, I go, I don't care. I want to see him or her for myself. And I don't think that was doubt. I think that was love. I don't think it was the unbelief of truth. He was saying, God, I must touch you. And guess what? It says 8 days later, Jesus returns and comes back to visit them. And he visited them for no other reason except just for Thomas. Just for Thomas. He comes back. He greets everybody. And then he focuses his attention on Thomas and he says to Thomas what everybody thought maybe was doubt and that maybe God didn't hear, but God was always with him because God never lets go. That he says, come, Thomas, touch my hand, feel my side. John chapter 20. says, but Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the twelve, was not with them. When Jesus came, the other disciples told him, we saw the master. But he said, unless I see the nail holes in his hands, put my finger in the nail holes and stick my hands in his side, I won't believe it. 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus came through the locked door, stood among them and said, peace to you. Then he focused his attention to Thomas. Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. What a loving, intimate God we have who would come for just the one that while we may brand him doubting, the Lord says, that's my son. I will meet with him. And the Lord did that because he wanted to hear the next line that would come out of a Thomas's mouth. which is, Thomas said, my Master, my God. The Lord was not about for Thomas to have a second-hand relationship. The Lord was not about to have an intermediary that Thomas would have to believe on someone else's account. The Lord says, has it not been clear that the desire of my heart for all my sons and daughters is to walk with them deeply and intimately and personal? And he desired. And so when he met with him, Thomas said, my Master, my God. And you know, our God is so beautiful. He didn't forget us in the room. The next line, it says, Jesus said, so you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better, blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. And some people hear this line and they think that the Lord is trying to be pegro with Thomas. Blessed are you who see, but blessed are those who never see and still believe. And that's not true. The Lord was genuinely blessing him. And then he thought about all of us who may not see him face to face and said, blessed are we for us when we believe. The Lord has us in mind and in his heart. Could I get the music team to come on? The Lord desires to walk with us. I've had the pleasure and the joy of doing a couple of things. Doing things that easier for the world to celebrate. Whether it was doing music at a singing competition and different things that I know that the gifting or the achievement is something that maybe man might applause for. But I've never forgotten, and I continue to treasure the most thing, the best thing of all, is to walk with him. My favorite thing about God is not so much when the breakthrough happens, because some things in life may never get that breakthrough. But I always go, Lord, I want to see your fingerprints. God, I want to see your hand. All I need to know is that you're walking with me. And if you're walking with me, that's all that matters. I've shared before at services about how I grew up in church and was doing multiple things, was running for the Lord. But it came a point in time I needed to see him for myself. And I began to ask and I pray, Lord, I need you. And almost kind of like Thomas, I doubted. I couldn't go on anyone's account. And so even then I went to church and all that. And I said, I'm going to kind of leave church. And I don't believe this thing. I don't think it's legit. And even then, the Lord never let go of me. And some of you heard that story. In the end, I went to the borders of Burma and Thailand. And in there, the borders of Burma and Thailand, I prayed. I said, Lord, if you're real, will you meet with me? He showed up the next morning, did a couple of things that were very incredibly personal that nobody knew. The night before I left, I opened the Bible, landed on Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. I read the story. The Lord said, Isaac, I'm coming for you. Ring, rope, and sandals shall I put on you. The next morning, I wake up, didn't tell a word to a person. A 7-year-old refugee boy came to me, gave me a ring, and said, God loves you. Some of you heard that story. When I left church, I said, I don't want to be part of anything. But a friend said, Isaac, just go to the borders of Burma and Thailand and the Lord will move through people. And for those who know that story, that's Rachel actually. Rachel and I grew up together and Rachel was the one at 17, said, Isaac, you should go on a mission trip. And she had to fight the pastor because they're like, Isaac, this boy, he's reckless. And then after I encountered him, I went every morning to the park to sit under a pull-up bar just to pray and seek his face. Because I knew he was with me. And the Lord gave someone a word from another country, came to me and says, hey, the Lord sees you sitting under a bullock bar praying every day and he just wants you to know that he's with you. And I wept and I go, that's beautiful, that's my God. When I came back from the humanitarian trip, I would lock myself in the room every day, take out the guitar, just play and worship him for one entire year. I didn't feel his presence. But again, a missionary came by and says, I know this is strange, but the Lord has given me a vision. He sees you going to your room, locking the door every single day and playing the guitar. And the Lord just wants you to know he loves you. And those things has really kind of shaped how I really enjoy walking with the Lord. And to this day, I see his fingerprints everywhere. The only time I panic is not when the breakthrough doesn't come, or I don't get that finance, or I don't get that job, or I don't get the opportunity. I only panic when I don't see His hand in my life and I don't see Him with me. And I always say, God, as long as You walk with me, let's go. And I'm so glad He reminds me an entire scripture that He has never let me go, and He holds my hand so tightly, and He won't leave or forsake me, that even when I'm not faithful, He is. And that's where we get our peace from. As we wrap up the year and we go into the next, as we think and we reflect on a couple of things, I'm sure in this room, some of us have gone through deep pain and disappointment or quietness that has discouraged our heart. Or maybe some of us have gone through great success. You have renewed wisdom. But don't forget the song you sang just now. Who can grasp Your infinite wisdom? Not me, Lord. So even if I'm really sharp right now, keep me humble. That even in our wisdom and even in our success, may we not miss the point. And not forget what the Lord desires of us. Micah 6 verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Would you just rise to your feet? I think in G, yeah. Would you sing this song with me? And I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, You held me in Your sight. You made a way. So You made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, You paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank You, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank You, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus, You have saved my life.
And brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Oh, we thank You, Lord. We sing, You took my place. And You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then You walked right out again. Now death has no sting, life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood. And there is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls the sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through. Oh, it's Your blood.
The blood.
Come on, church, you sing, there is nothing. One more time, brought me
from the darkness into glory.
One more time, come on, brought me.
And brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Would you just raise both hands up as an act of surrender? And would you take the next 1 minute to just present your walk with the Lord? Maybe some of you need to come out of hiding. Maybe some of you just need to remind yourself and say, Lord, I want to walk with you more. Even as the year wraps up and I go into 2026, I know you walk with me, but God, I want to walk with you. Would you help me? Please be my shepherd, my king. Maybe some disappointment or pain this year has caused you to lose heart and hope. But would you return to him and says, Lord, I want to be present with you, and you hold my hand through it all. There's no more leaving. There's no more departing. Help me. Or maybe things have been going very well in life that sometimes it scares you a little bit. I hope I don't lose myself. Well, would you walk humbly with God and says, God, I never want to run ahead. I never want to run ahead. Just 30 more seconds. You just talk to the Lord. Just be present with him.
We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. To know you and to love you. To know you and to love you. Help me to see you. Help me to know you. To know you and to love you, Lord. Help me to see you and to know you and to walk with you. And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And open the eyes of my heart, and I want to see.
Present, don't look around, just to him, you and him.
And open the eyes of my heart, open the eyes, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
Why do we want to see him? To see you.
To see you. High and lifted up.
Shining in the light of your glory.
Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Let's just sing holy, holy, holy.
And holy, holy, holy.
Just be present with him. Come on.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
Listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.